how have you been?
We haven't recorded in a while.
We haven't recorded in almost 2 months. Should we give everyone like a status update on everything?
What if we did like, you get 10 words?
Ooh, I don't like that. What if we did like 60 seconds?
What's wrong with the words?
Because I don't like being put on the spot like that to think about my words.
But you're just going to do it with time.
Also, apparently Leeds won.
Did they play today?
I guess so.
30 Sorry. Seconds.
30. You want to do 30 seconds?
30 seconds.
I can do 30 seconds.
We can do 30. Oh, Leeds did win. I even told myself this morning, I was like, are there games today? No, it's a Tuesday.
Yeah. They but it's like we're games. Entering that point in the season where like there's been tournaments and all that. People are making up games. So it's about to get nuts
Damn,
here for a little
Leeds
bit.
Leeds jumped big.
Yeah.
Dude.
Good for them. I don't want either of you guys to get relegated. I did want Everton, but then you guys tied Tottenham. So I'm.
Yeah.
You guys won it over
in a fucking heater of a game, dude. That was an incredible game.
So 30 seconds to give our listeners an update.
Yeah,
you want to go first?
You go first.
I go first.
Okay.
Last time we hold on, I'll preface this. Last time we recorded, I think was the end of February. Yeah, because we talked about taking March off.
Yeah, we took off March.
Okay,
and then March became April.
Yeah, even though it's mid,
it's April 4th.
April now, but this will come out later this week. So yeah. Okay, let's see. All of March, I tried to find a job and went through probably the most grueling interview and rejection process that I've ever dealt with in my life. Dealt with some bullshit from my honestly. March was not a good month in the grand scheme of Marches of my life. I can probably say top three worst March I've had.
Really? Because I think it's the dimes.
What?
The worst Marches.
Oh, Jesus. This is not counting towards my time. I'm giving myself 10 more seconds back.
You know, this is great for the video medium, dude, but...
I started going back to the gym. I took some time off from comedy to spend more time with my wife. Honestly, it was outside of the emotional and financial battles, had a great time.
Yeah.
All right. Your turn, Jordan.
Okay.
Let me start now.
All right. Bought a second house. We moved again.
27,
we
26.
Built, we built a fence, but just the post this last Saturday, which was actually a lot of fun, a lot of hard work. I had a very busy March for comedy. I was on the road 3 weeks of the month, 3 weeks of that month, I think, or three weekends. And that's it. And my new job picked up, my second job picked up.
Oh yeah,
heavily.
Which is that the one you were just
Starts
working on before
us,
you came
yeah.
here? Gotcha. We both get under 30 seconds. We're great. We're good with time, and we need to speak no further on it.
Isn't it crazy how it's like so many things happened, but then in the grand scheme of things, nothing happened.
It felt like a year, and then just fitting into 30 seconds, I was like, nothing happened, and these people don't care.
Yeah, right.
Like absolutely. Nothing happened. Like,
the points don't matter when the rules are made up.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah, that's, yeah.
It boils down to I had a very frustrating job, a very frustrating time trying to find full time employment.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
like you, found freelance stuff and we're doing fine.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, should we just get into it?
Let's just get into it.
Okay. For the first time in a long time, guys, girls, non-binaries, whatever you identify as, I am so glad that you identify as someone who is listening to this podcast. Welcome to episode 75 of Bop
wow.
or Flop Podcast.
You ooh, didn't miss ooh. A beat. You nailed it.
I've been training, dude.
Have
all
you?
Day. I've been saying it in the morning. Every morning I wake up and I go, guys, girls, non-binaries. And Lindy's like, can you please stop doing that?
She's like, I'm right here.
I am one half of your co-host team. My name is Spencer Bland. You can find me on social media. At Spencer Spicy, that's on Instagram, at God's Favorite Comedian on TikTok. I'm doing that again because our albums are coming out, so I got to get back on the socials.
Yes.
You can check out my website, godsfavoritecomedian.com. I have a ton of dates coming up in April that we'll talk about. You can follow the podcast, this very essence of being, this audio and video medium, at Bop or Flop Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can listen to every episode for free at bopperflop.com or get our episodes wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, all that shit. But if you've been listening to us for 75 episodes, or if you've never listened to us before and you're very confused at what's going on right now, if you're listening or if you're looking at us on a video medium, or if you're listening in an audio medium, you've heard of a gravelly, fun, sultry voice before this, and that voice is owned by none other than
your daddy, Jordan Scott Huggins. Hello, everybody. I'm JSH. You can find me on all social media at aka Young Beefy on Instagram, TikTok, Instagram, where I'm now verified.
Dude.
Huh? I am verified on Instagram.
Probably
baby.
The lamest thing you've ever done.
I don't know. Maybe. I didn't feel good doing it, but I had a very like factual, the fact that reason for, to do it.
The fact that I made fun of it in my stories yesterday, which I don't know if you saw.
I saw your stories and I was like, did he fucking post this after? And then I saw it was like posted 23 hours ago.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, the timing is spooky.
Yeah.
There's only one verification now.
Oh, like even if you're a celebrity, you got
to
pay for it?
Yes. Even if you had the blue check legitimately before,
yeah,
you now have to pay for it to keep it.
That's insane.
Yeah.
If I get 10,000 followers, I'll pay for it.
They may be rolling it out slowly, actually.
I think they're rolling it out
but
slowly.
But the ultimate goal is that everybody, if you want to be verified, you have to pay for it.
But then doesn't that, I get that, but then doesn't that take away, I mean, it's the same thing with Twitter. Doesn't that take away from the cool and the wow factor of being verified?
Cause now I agree. It does. Yeah. But so what prompted all of it is that Elon Musk just released the white paper or whatever, all the data on the TikTok or the Twitter algorithm.
No, he open sourced the Twitter algorithm is what he did.
Well, he released the code for it.
Yeah.
Which
it's
shows
called open sourcing it.
Well, it shows the data behind the algorithm and like how it pushes stuff and what it pushes and stuff like that. And so his blue check verification is it gets pushed. If you have that and it'll push that 20 times. To a power of 20 more than everything else.
I just don't care.
Like replies don't matter. Likes matter the most at like 5 times. And then there's,
yeah, it's very, nothing really matters anymore. Cause for example, that guy, Wafik or whatever in the scene, Ashley Preston shared a video of his.
Yeah.
And it was him making fun of like a Sonic hiring sign in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And it had like 27 comments, like 100 likes, like really good engagement from people like he followed who were like, yo, this is funny as hell. Yeah. And it had like 400 views.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But so then the whole reason that I did it is because Instagram is going to adopt the same type of algorithm.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like I mentioned, is that if you're verified, then they will push your stuff along with other verified people in the same niche and everything. So it's,
I hate that you saw that and were like, I'm not going to fight against this. I'm going to join.
Well, I mean, what do you like? We're in the entertainment industry. Like,
it's just so, like,
it
I
does
don't know.
Make me think that like if I was in a room with Harvey Weinstein, I probably would have given him a blowjob.
That's how I feel. That's how it makes me feel about you. It just, it's like, and I'm not saying this about you, but unfortunately I am. It's just like I know a lot of other people are not going to respect people who pay for verification. So like, it just sucks that you did it.
That's fine. I don't care. I don't feel totally good doing it. I did feel like I was on the cusp though, because I've seen some people with over the last little bit.
That was my thing. I wanted to earn it. Cause I know you don't really have to do that much to get it. Like you just have to like have a couple, the original verification was either had to have like a high profile job, be a public figure,
right,
or like be like Tim has it. Like Tim was like proper verified.
How many followers does he have?
Only 2,000, but he's a music producer and has like, and like did like played at Bonnaroo and shit.
Yeah. So I mean, like, that's changing though. You're now like, I'm not saying that you can't do it, I'm just saying like Instagram's going to change it so quickly that you'll never be able to get it legit.
The only way I would ever do it again is the only way I'd ever pay for it is if someone in the industry was like, you have to do it, like to get to this next level or something.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do it myself just to be like, look at my dumb reels. No offense. Or like
I knew what I was getting into when I committed to it.
Well, get ready for a world of shit.
I don't care. Like like I'll pay for this and then my reels, the views jump up a bunch for sure. Also,
I want to see if they actually do jump up though. That's my thing.
Also, yeah, I am interested to see that, and I will not pay for it
because
anymore.
It's like it's an ever moving goalpost with the Instagram out. First, it's like, oh, we got to do reels, and everyone was doing reels for a bit, and we were getting tons and tons of views, and gaining followers, and then it's like, well, you got to use trending sounds. It's like, fucking A. All right, fine. I'll make these gay little videos.
It is a nightmare for sure.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, we changed it and now it's based on like using emojis. And it's like, fucking A. Fine. And it's like, and now it's like, you got to pay for it. And like, what's stopping them from being like, you got to pay us more. And then you got to pay us more, you know? Like,
Yeah.
It's just frustrating. And I'd rather.
But on the flip side though, like, it's crazy that social media has just been free this whole time, right? Like
it's not free though. Like we are paying for it by our privacy being sold.
Right, but not willingly.
But that's still pretty expensive, I would say.
Right, but like that's not like It's still.
I get that it's not taking anything monetarily from us, but like social media. God, what?
It's a music, we really just dove into
comedy podcast.
Remember when we were like, let's get into it,
and then we were like, we're really getting into it. Yeah. We'll get there eventually. Maybe we'll cut this all out for Patreon. I don't know. We'll probably leave it in.
This is what we fucking do. Yeah. Welcome back. You know what's been going on?
This. You know, we go on tangents. Yes. Okay. The music portion is like 30.
Verified.
The music portion is like 30 minutes.
Okay? But it's just crazy to me that like, wait, social. Why should it this? It's this massive thing. Like, why was it ever free in the first place? I get that they were selling our data and like that's how they were making money. But like, we were never paying anything, so it didn't cost us anything monetarily. But like, we were all using it. So most of us are using it more than we spend at our jobs.
100%.
So it's like, but and the other thing too is that I'm making enough on Reels plays that it's paying for itself.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Through Instagram?
Instagram and Facebook.
No, you just show me how to set that up.
Yeah.
Now that I'm about to start doing Reels again.
Yeah.
To promote the album.
Yes.
Just me. I'm the only one that has an album.
I gotta tell you, I have some very fun media planned for the
do
month
you?
Of June.
I do too. I got a
media
lot.
Rollout.
I got a lot. I've got a strategy plan for May. So I'm ahead of you.
Oh, you're doing May?
Yeah. Jordan. No. You know what? Real quick, it's April. Do you have any dates this month?
Yeah. In a couple weeks, I am going to be at. I apologize. Let me pull it up real quick.
You're fine. Do you want me to talk through my dates?
This Saturday, April 8th, I've got Don't Tell Comedy. Go to donttellcomedy.com. You can type in Raleigh, and you'll see that we've got a show coming up this Saturday at 8 o'clock. You should come out to that. April 15th, I'll be at Bill's Brewing in Wilmington, North Carolina. The following weekend, the 21st through the 22nd, I will be at... I will be at Good Nights featuring for Jeff Asmus, so you can come see me there. That Sunday, the 23rd, we got another Don't Tell Comedy show, which I just started freaking out about because we don't have a venue for yet, so I need to figure that out.
Wait, when?
April 23rd. It's a Sunday.
Is that the one that I'm on or no? I'm on the one in May.
You're on the one in May.
Good.
And then I'm very excited for this, but April 29th is Stamptown. I will be in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
Doing my poster board bits for the incredibly popular variety show Stamptown, run by Zach Zucker. And I'm just really excited. It's at the Bell House. It's at like 7 or 7:30. So if you're in New York and you want to come see it, come see me.
That'll be fun.
Yes.
Dates? My dates, boy, do I have a lot. No, I'm just kidding. I have a decent amount this month. I'm pretty stoked for. The day this comes out, Thursday, April 6th, I will be doing Comedy Roulette at Good Nights Comedy. Roulette. You're on it too. Jordan is also doing Comedy Roulette at Good Nights Comedy in the side room. Is it in the side room? Probably is.
Yeah.
Very stoked.
You mean room 861?
Room 861, whatever. They could have called that so many better things.
Why is it 861?
There's the old address of Good Nights, the original building.
Yeah. Nod,
which is nice, but it's just it doesn't roll off the tongue well. And then let's see. And then later that month, I got a ton more. April 21st and 22nd, I'll be in Wilmington featuring for Josh Gondelman at Dead Crow Comedy Club. I am so stoked for that. I've heard that Josh is an amazing guy. I've liked his comedy for a while. I've liked his persona, his writing, all of that. But it'll be nice to hang with him in person. And then the last Saturday in April, April 29th, I will be headlining The Sparrow in North Charleston, South Carolina. So excited. I love that club. We did a live show there. We went back and did Music Farm later that year. I just really, really love Charleston. I'm stoked to headline it. Love all the dudes there. Very thankful to be there. And then I have a ton of stuff coming up in May that I won't talk about yet. But I'm very, very excited. I got some big opportunities coming in May. And then, as you've heard us mention, both our albums come out in June, which is going to be really, really cool. And we're going to be pushing that like crazy. So get ready to have that shoved down your throat. Yeah. Now, with that being said, Jordan, we may have some people just tuning in who have never heard of us before, who have no idea what Bop or Flop is. We have some people who used to listen to us and just straight up forgot who we were and what we were. And they just got this on their podcast RSS feed and were like, bless you.
Thank you.
Sneeze first and they're like, what the fuck is this podcast? Why don't you tell them what it is?
Do you like music, idiots? Bop or Flop I'm lightheaded from yelling. Bobber Flop is a music, comedy, or comedy music podcast, depending on how you're feeling and how we're feeling on the day.
Very true.
It's a comedy music or music comedy podcast. Every episode, Spencer and I pick a date in history.
Yes.
As long as it's after 1955.
Yes.
And then what we do is we go back and find the Billboard top 10 songs from that date in history, and we listen to the top 10 songs from that date.
Yes.
Right? So some people are like, hey, my birthday, you know, November 21st, 1988, what were the top 10 songs trending then? We go back and listen to those, and we do exactly what our name is. We see if they bop or they flop. Do they rock shit? Do they suck dick? Are they good? Are they bad? Do we like them? Do we not like them? Are they just okay? All of these questions are answered and more.
Yes.
In Bop or Flop.
Hey, also, you didn't lose a beat either.
It felt like it.
Well, I mean, I
was, a little bit.
I was trying to be positive.
Oh, thank you.
No, I felt pretty good.
Yes, okay.
It wasn't that bad. You've had way worse ones when we've been like in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I feel like you were like, I got to prove something to myself.
Yeah. No, like I'm that. In.
You're like Jordan coming back after retiring. You're like, you know what? A little rusty, but still got it.
Yeah.
Still got the sauce. So today's date, we're covering an alternative chart, and we're covering that reason because it is the date, the first time that a favorite band of mine, I think of yours too.
Yes.
Ever hit a Billboard chart. And that date is April 29th, 2006. I was 16. Jordan was 24.
I was 16 going on 17.
No, I was hardcore. I had just turned 16.
I was hardcore 16.
Honestly, yeah, I was. That film's dirty. And that is the date that Death Cab for Cutie first time ever got into a Billboard chart. And that song, actually, I won't say what song it is, but it's just the first time they ever hit the Billboard chart.
Well, it's number 10, so
they'll find out very
pretty
soon.
Pretty quickly.
Pretty quick. And we don't have sponsors anymore, so we don't have to do anything. We lost our sponsors.
These are our sponsors.
Because actually, you know what? Honestly, that's on you guys because you didn't buy anything.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, hurts.
I can't believe that you would not buy something from this podcast that you haven't heard from in 2 months.
And I can't believe it's not.
Seatbelts, everyone. Please let this be a normal field trip with a friend. No way.
Cruising on down Main Street. You're relaxed and feeling good. Hey. Next thing that you know, you see it. Octopus in my neighborhood. Surfing on a sound wave, swinging through the stars. Yeah. Take a left at Joe Manhattan. Take your second right past Mars on the Magic School
Bus. Everybody, welcome back to the Magic School Bus, the podcast within a podcast covering all things late and great with Miss Frizzle and her fantastic fourth graders. This week, I actually have some news for you guys because, I can pull it off my phone now. I don't have to turn around and awkwardly read it off of my laptop with our weird setup right now. The Magic School Bus is back. That's right. Like everything else from our childhood, a corporation has said, we need to squeeze this for more money because millennials kind of have a little bit of money right now and we need to separate them from their cash. And that is because Netflix hired Kate McKinnon, who's going to voice the new Mrs. Frizzle. And honestly, pretty okay with that. I think she can nail that. The Magic School Bus is coming back on Netflix. They haven't said when yet, but they've ordered 26 episodes.
Ooh, welcome to Kid Bop, everybody. The podcast within a podcast within a podcast, where I like to check in with the latest news in the world of Kid Rock, okay? Welcome to Kid Bop, everybody. Checking in with Kid Rock. Turns out Kid Rock made the news recently, Fox News primarily, where he shot up a Bud Light can with a rifle to protest Dylan Mulvaney, a very popular transgender woman, who is now the new Bud Light spokesperson. And Kid Rock, there's a video that came out. Kid Rock took his took an assault rifle, maybe an AR-15, into his backyard. Looks like he's on the swamps in New Orleans. And he's shooting at a Bud Light can saying, fuck Bud Light, fuck Anheuser-Busch.
He unloads on an entire table. First off, this is great.
Boom! That's been Kid Bop, everybody. You were saying?
That was good.
I just came up with that right now.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Back to the Magic School Bus. Not much else. It's like they've ordered 26 episodes. The main reason I want to talk about this because what do you think the title of the show is going to be?
Magic School Bus?
Magic School Bus 360. What a terrible title.
That sucks.
That might be the working title, but according to Netflix's chief content officer, Ted Sarandos, sounds a lot like George Soros. this is what we call the Magic School Bus. When does it return? They haven't announced it yet. There's all these questions. How many episodes are there? They've ordered 26. Who will voice the characters? Haven't said anything other than Kate McKinnon. Will it still be a cartoon? Yes. Will CG animation? And how will the show evolve to suit these modern times? The bus will be trans. Oh, excuse me. The bus will have a manual transmission.
Wait, will it be? It'll just have a manual?
No, I just made that part up.
Oh, that's right.
No, it does say the bus will reportedly feature modern tools. But no, it says it'll feature modern tools and incorporate adventures focused on technology and other realms of STEM.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Kate McKinnon's voice in Miss Frizzle.
I'm totally fine with that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So with that being said, that has been the Magic School Bus.
And that's been Navigator Nostril.
I'm on the Magic School Bus.
Oh boy. Well, that was fun.
That was fun. So, with that being said, Jordan, do you want to get into the meat of the podcast? Why
we're
here?
I'd love to. Yeah, let's listen to the reason why we're here. So, this is the top 10 from April 29th, 2006.
Alternative Airplay.
Coming at number 10, the reason we're here, we've got Crooked Teeth by Death Cab for Cutie.
Hey. You can't find nothing at all if there was nothing there from
all,
this,
along.
All along. I thought it was from the start.
I think you're right.
You know what? They say both.
Yes.
Yeah. Plans, the album this is off of, changed my life. Absolutely changed my life.
Yeah. I'm looking at the rest.
Not at like a massive level, but like it was just the first time. 16 years old was when I was probably, I got my license a year late because I was a lazy little kid. But I was like getting out of the like punk rock, pop punk phase, and I was just like, "What else is out there? You know, there's more to life than Blink-182."
Boom! Zooey Deschanel's husband at the time.
No, they weren't even remotely married at this point. They got married
even at this time.
No, they got married. I think it would have been like when we were probably 19 or 20.
Really?
Because Kintsugi is the album that talks about their divorce, and that came out during our mid 20s. They may have even gotten married later than that. They weren't married for that long, I don't think.
Let's see.
But a lot of people don't like Kintsugi. That's one of my favorite albums.
I think it's a great album.
It's a phenomenal
That's
album.
That's really good, yeah.
Love a good breakup album.
He's from Bremerton, Washington. Him and Zooey Deschanel were married from 2009 to 2012.
So, yeah. So, late teens, early 20s.
Oh, so this is 3 years before that. Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind. But technically, it came out in 2005. But
I remember watching MTV had like an indie channel. I can't remember what it was called, but it was like, do you remember when, like, I mean, it still exists, but, like, no, who the fuck has cable anymore? But when cable had, like 1,000 channels.
Yeah.
And there was, like, Fuse, and there was, I don't know what it was, but there was an indie MTV channel.
Do you have a TV streaming platform right now? Not just, like, Peacock or Netflix, but, like, something that does TV.
No.
It's still out there, dude. It is wild how much media is being created.
It's insane. We were talking about
YouTube
that at work
TV.
Today.
It's fucking nuts, dude. There's so many channels.
There
so I know
getting,
exactly.
There
Fuse. Fuse 2.
There are shows getting created and canceled before you even hear about them.
FFX, but only for women.
It's called Sluts. They do shit like that.
They do, yeah.
Welcome
to Oxygen Network.
Yeah. And then welcome to OH, the face you make when you watch our content because it makes you cum. It's for dudes.
It's for dudes.
Welcome to Truck TV, channel F-150. Like, it's fucking all.
It is so borderline idiocracy.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Forts.
Oh, dude, basically. I mean, there's pretty much shows where people get kicked in the nuts, and that was a big thing on Idiocracy. Anyway.
That show.
And this album came out. I remember I was flipping the cable one day trying to not buy porn on the TV. And I found this, and they were talking about the music video for what's the main
an ad popped up.
What's the main song off this album? I don't know why I can't remember. I could sing it for
I will follow you into the dark.
No, that's a great song. The I do believe it's true. There are roads left in both of our shoes, and if the silence takes me, then I hope it takes you too. Why can I not?
Someday you will be loved.
No, there's Marching Bands of Manhattan. There's
Soul Meets Body.
There we go. Soul Meets Body. Yeah. That song. They were talking about the music video for that, and I listened to it, and I was like, now how does this music know that I'm sad?
was I sad before? It's a yeah. real chicken and egg scenario.
It's like, I remember
crying.
Was I
sad or did this song make me sad?
Yeah, and then I went to School Kids Records and I bought this album, and I don't think it left my car stereo for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just opened my world to like fucking all the other sad boy music, and it's a hardcore bop for me. It's not a twist, but it's this whole album, front to back to front, however you want to listen to it, it's good.
Good, yes. I think that's an understatement. This is a bop.
Yeah.
I don't have as many memories as you about it. It's just, Death Cab for Cutie is always hit. It's never missed for me in my life.
There's been a couple albums that I've been wild about, but it's good.
I also people wax poetic about whole albums, and I'm just like, I never listened to, at no point in my life was I listening to full albums. The only full album I think I ever listened to and knew the songs that were on that album, and you were to be like, hey, what album was this song from? I could tell you, it was like a Led Zeppelin greatest hits album. And then that's not even the album, you know? That's
insane to me that you were that big of a Led Zeppelin guy. I just never see you as someone.
Get the lead out, dude. Yeah. I like lead.
I know we were listening to it while making a fence the other day. Yeah. And I was like, I fucking.
Could you have picked something more perfect?
To build a fence?
To listen to? Well, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I don't really like Led Zeppelin.
Really?
I'm not saying they're bad. No, I'm not saying they're bad.
I don't think you are.
It's just not for me.
We've talked about this before, too, because it's like, it's crazy you're not into them.
I know.
As much as you love.
Because I talk about swords and shit.
Yeah, dude.
I just can't take like, come on, little baby, let's run on the road.
But you do like Screamo.
Yeah, but it's like different. I don't know. Screamo's like. Angry. I like Screamo because I'm angry, and it ticks that box for me. Like when I get rejected from Deloitte, I went and just listened to. I even put a thing out on my Instagram story. I was like, "Send me the heaviest shit you have," because I just want to listen to angry music right now. Led Zeppelin's weird to me because like it's not angry, but his voice sounds like my cat when I step
shrill.
On its tail. Like it's just
it's shrill.
Yeah, it's just like ugh. I just can't do it. Anyway, let's do number 9.
Okay, double bop from us.
Coming in at number 9, we have I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor by Arctic Monkeys. I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor by Arctic Monkeys. It's fine.
That's it?
Yeah. I've never really been like super into the Arctic Monkeys, man. I don't know why.
This was the real British invasion for me.
Really?
Like, not just the Arctic Monkeys, but like also everybody else, they kind of spawned. Remember that band, the Pink Spiders?
No, you've talked with them before, and I never.
Yeah.
I never got into this, like the Strokes.
Yeah. So, like,
Cage the Elephant. I like those bands. You put it on, I'm like, that's good.
Cage the Elephant, though, was a little bit more American Rocky than this wave of like super upbeat.
Kasabian. Remember that band?
God, yeah.
Sorry,
I just looked at
their related
fucking
artists.
Franz Ferdinand, dude. And
yeah.
Yeah, like those bands, like that.
I move, you should die. I don't know where I am. Take me out. Like fucking.
It feels like they're playing guitar with all upstrokes.
Yeah, it's like fucking.
Yeah.
It's just really intense.
The drummer
Even
in the
that's
back.
Like super, and that's how the Strokes are, too. It's just like.
Yeah.
It almost.
The Strokes are. Great, though.
Oh, I like the Strokes. I like Franz Ferdinand. That album's good.
I like the Arctic Monkeys a lot. I think this is a hard bop.
I'm not saying it's bad. It's just like I never like sought this music out. It was played for me, and I was
that's
good.
Is I learned how to code my MySpace just so I could put this or the Pink Spiders
I was adjacent, but like this style, it's not the same style, but I was a White Stripes guy. So that's still kind of like raw, fast, quick, in your face. I was like, give me Jack White because he's sad looking, you know? I want to listen to this vampire play.
When really I want to listen to these super, you know, hair gelled up guys.
It's good.
Actually, I don't know. He's kind of a legend, though. Alex Turner in the UK.
Yeah.
Because I think they are. Are they English? They have to
they
be.
They have to be. There's no way.
He's English.
You can hear their crooked teeth through their lyrics. Like, Crooked Teeth, song before. It's a callback.
Was it him? There was a video going around of somebody doing vocal warm-ups. I think it was Alex Turner. The Arctic Monkeys were about to play, and somebody walks in the back, and he's doing vocal warm-ups. And he's got like this. He just looks super hot because he's like a tall, skinny guy, but he's got his shirt unbuttoned just a little bit. And I think he's singing Randy Travis. It's like he's got one of those like vape, but it's like moisturizing smog for the throat or whatever. Anyway, that led nowhere, but this is a hard bop for me.
Nice. Hard bop for you. It's just a regular bop for me. I like it. Moving on
to number 8, we've got Tear You Apart by She Wants Revenge.
Got a big plan, this mindset, maybe it's right at the right place and right time, maybe tonight in a whisper or handshakes.
I legit, when I was playing this and working, I thought this was Interpol.
They're like all in the same, like Bauhaus, it's all that.
I
hate this style of music.
Just the, like, you know what it is?
It's vampire nightclub music.
Yeah, it's like somebody zooted out. It's like the disco.
It's honestly, it's like what I imagine the
disco Viking.
To me, it's like what I imagine the cartoon characters from the Gorillaz listen to in their free time.
Yeah.
They're just
what are those gorillas like?
They're just zonked out on a fucking mattress. They're in a room. The only furniture is mattresses. They're chain smoking cigarettes and they're listening to this music.
This is what Ewan McGregor from Trainspotting and all of his friends listen to.
Yeah, it's just like too dark for me.
Yeah.
I just can't.
So is it a
it's a flop.
It's a flop. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Kanan.
Okay. He liked this.
I don't know if he liked it, but he said in the chat, so join our Patreon at $5, $8, or $10 levels, patreon.com/bobberflop. But we released the date the day before and the playlist to say, like, hey, here's what we're covering in the next day. And he was like, wow, I didn't know that She Wants Revenge charted. And then he was like, oh, it's the alternative one. But even then, I was like, I've never heard of this band.
Ever. Yeah.
And this song has almost 92 million plays on Spotify. Every other song barely has like a few million.
Wow.
Yeah. So this one, I don't know. This must have been in a movie or something.
I'm giving it a blop. It was fine. I don't dislike it, though.
I hate it. It made me mad. Now, coming at number 7, a fun song, Saying Sorry by Hawthorne Heights. Saying Sorry by Hawthorne Heights. Not sorry I listened to it.
I've never gotten this band.
I haven't either. I was never a huge fan of them, but this was like one of their 3 songs. I'm like, that's fun.
I feel like
seeing you cry makes me feel like saying sorry.
No, but even then, that's so almost Blink that it's good. You know, like, I just have a problem when like the lead singer comes in so soft, like it doesn't match up to a heavy guitar intro.
Yeah.
Like if you can't even outdo the guitar intro for me, like that's.
They were like
bad.
Evan, let me know what we're gonna have Evan on soon, by the way. But Evan, let me know. Text me later what genre this is, because like I know it's screamo, but it's like a different, because it's almost a little more pop punk with screamo influence, you know?
Yeah,
because they don't scream all the time. And obviously their big song "Ohio is for Lovers" is what catapulted them into like huge, you know, emo stardom. I would wager they're like pretty well known, or that song for at least is pretty.
I feel like if you think of like the early aughts. And
they're
like
in there.
Bands.
Yeah.
They're in the first group.
Well, there was like a huge, like, there was a fight. There was Tooth and Nail Records and there were Victory Records. And
see, I don't know. That's
Hawthorne Heights was Victory. And I was a Tooth and Nail kid. So.
Okay. Who was on Tooth and Nail?
Tooth and Nail would be like Under Oath, Emery, MXPX. Was Switchfoot Tooth and Nail? They weren't. Hawkboy, a bunch of like smaller Christian.
It just sounds like you're naming Christian superheroes at this point, dude. Hawkboy,
oh, you know,
Eagle Girl.
Bible Man.
Bible Man. There was...
yeah. I'm forgetting a bunch of Tooth and Nail bands, but it doesn't matter. They're not a record... Oh, they are still a record label. But
there was David and Goliath's Therapist. There was Slingshot Lovers. There was...
anyway, this is a good...
It's a bop.
It's a total bop. Yeah, yeah. I never was super into this band, but this song is like, I like it.
Okay, total bop.
What about for you?
Oh, this is a flop for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't like it. I don't know. Maybe I'm also scarred by all of the late drunk nights we've had with our friend group.
Yeah.
Where it's just, speaking of all the late drunk nights that we've had where Lindy and Tori just end up in the middle of the room playing screamo and just dancing drunk. They look like they should be listening to She Wants Revenge.
That's mostly just the Christmas party, but yeah.
Just zooted out of their
mind. Do you actually know what like ruined this band a little bit for me? Is they played, it was...
I heard he's an abuser.
Really?
No, but it could be true.
You can't be throwing that out there, man. I think he's a pretty good dude from what I've heard.
Okay.
You may be thinking of another Red Jumpsuit Apparatus. They were
the lead singer of that was
pretty bad guy. I think so. I could be wrong. Or no, it was Lost Prophets. Lost Prophets is the bad guy. Red Jumpsuit Apparatus is fine. Anyway, I went to see this band with Lindy at Cat's Cradle. It was Senses Fail, these guys, someone else.
Oh,
great show. But the lead singer of this band just brought up the fact that we were old too much. He like started the show and he was like, "Are you guys ready to travel back in time to when your backs didn't hurt and you didn't have taxes?" And it's like, come the fuck on, bro. It's like, it's like, yes, we're here for nostalgia, but like, you don't have to fucking corn it up. It
sounds
that
a little
much.
Bit like a brand being like, "Hello, gay person, we support."
It was so weird. And then he was like, "You guys might know this next song, back when you wore ripped off jeans." And it was like, "Bro, we get it."
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We are all in our 30s. Some of us are in our 40s.
Just stacked with references.
Yeah. And he'd be like, "Make sure you take your back pills before we play this one." It's like, why?
He was saying that stuff to
you? Dude, it was so cringe.
That sounds like a dad playing.
It was. He kind of looks, I mean, he is a dad now. I will say he aged like a fine wine. He looks great.
Did
it? Yeah. But it was just too much. It was like, yeah, we're here for nostalgia, but like the more you bring it up, it makes us feel lame for it.
Like, I don't need to be reminded of it, dude.
Yes, I'm old and I don't have a lot of money. I spent most of it getting these tickets.
Remember when taxes weren't a thing?
Yeah, it was so whack. Anyway.
This is a flop for me.
Coming in at number 1, 2, 3.
Are we at 6?
We're at 6.
It's me. Coming in at number 6, we got Steady As She Goes by the Raconteurs. Steady as she goes.
Steady As She Goes by the Raconteurs. Taking everything in me not to give this a twist, because it's not. It's not. It's not.
It, okay? It didn't fucking... We were all listening to Hawthorne Heights and fucking Panic of the Disco, and then these guys came out and we were like, Jack White could do something else, dude?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's like, Jack, this is at the time...
This song ripped, dude.
This whole... The Raconteurs have never made a bad song. It's Jack White, Brendan Benson, and a bunch of other sad rock boys, and I don't know who they are or where they went or where they came from other than Jack White. But this album was so good. Is this Broken Boy Soldier? Yeah, this one's from Broken Boy Soldier and their other album, Consolers of the Lonely. So fucking good, dude. Oh, my God. And then they just disappeared.
Yeah, they just like, it felt, what was that other supergroup? The Velvet Underground?
Velvet Revolver.
Velvet Revolver.
Very different sound.
But no, I yes. Not even remotely in the same genre.
I would
genre,
say this was more of a Monsters of Folk reunion, which I don't even know
if
you knew that was.
I just thought this wasn't a supergroup, but I was just like, oh,
it
kind of
was. It was like an indie supergroup.
Yeah, yeah. It was so weird. It was like, oh, have you heard? And they're like, a supergroup. It's like, yeah, well, what else have they been in? Like,
it's like, well, it's just Jack
the
White.
Green Home. And like the well-dressed gentleman and
Wilco. It's not a guy from Wilco, but it's like
the one guy I was actually looking up, the bass guitarist has done a shitload, dude.
All of them were like very involved in the music. My like super nerdy music friends loved Brendan Benson. What?
The bassist was in City and Color. Oh my God.
Yeah, they've all like they all touched a lot of things.
Yeah. Wow. Then, dude, okay.
If you have never listened to this band and you enjoy just like just standard rock music, go listen to this band. It is so good. Broken Boy Soldier is his first album. Consolers of the Lonely is the second one. Oh, God. One of them has a song called like Carolina Drama, and it's about like, it's a story. It's the last song. I think it's off Consolers of the Lonely. What's it called? Yeah, Carolina Drama. How did I remember that, dude? It's like a 10-minute song, but it's a story, and it's just so good. I love this band.
It was nominated for a Grammy in 2006 as well.
Yeah.
It peaked on the Hot 100 at number 54. This is a great song.
It's such a good song.
It's a hard
one. The whole album's great. It's so good. Should I? Hold on. 4, 3, 2. Oh, that was number 6. Number 6. Yeah.
You're bopping that.
I'm hard bopping it, dude. Bop As She Goes, okay? I don't know what else to give it from the bopping towards. Like, dude, it's... one of my favorite songs from one of my favorite albums. It was just that weird time where like Jack White had like 40 other bands.
Yeah, he was just doing a bunch.
And everyone like, was like, "Hey, can the White Stripes be back?" And he was like, "They cannot, but yeah. I can make you 17 other types of albums."
Which it's kind of crazy because it's exactly how I feel about Bon Iver, dude. It's like Justin Martin's like, "Hey, can you stop doing stuff with the Staves and give us more good Bon Iver, dude?"
Yeah. I hope that like before he dies, he comes out with like one more just like acoustic guitar and him
just
album.
Just go back to the cabin, dude. Right before he's about to die, and he live streams an album as he expires from actually, this world.
But he just fades away. Yeah. He doesn't actually die. He just kind of how like Marty McFly faded away in the photo in Back to the Future when he like didn't get his parents.
Oh, yeah.
Bon Iver just
like an Obi-Wan Kenobi just...
After every song, he just gets a little more translucent. and after the last one, he just disappears.
Last song he ever plays in the world?
You know, it falls down. 4 tabs of acid is what he leaves behind.
4 tabs of acid for Emma forever ago. and scene.
And we're all crying. Anyway, coming in at number five, I hold on. I'm going to play it. But it's the long, I don't even know the full.
Oh, you can't read it? I've got it.
Do you know the full title?
Yeah, the only difference between martyrdom and suicide is press coverage.
Oh, Jesus. By Panic at the Disco. Swear to seek it, I'll be infused. Swear to listen, we're still so young. Desperate for attention, I... Woo! 3, 2, 1. Swear to bop it up if you swear to listen.
Dude, that's a great song.
This is...
The title is a quote from the Chuck Palahniuk novel Survivor.
Gotcha, okay. Well, at 16, I wasn't heady enough to know that.
Yeah.
This album was so good. R.I.P. Panic at the Disco. Finally stopped being a band, I think, just like a month ago.
Oh, they just broke up?
It's been Brendan Urie for... I think it always has been Brendan Urie. Yeah. But, like, even more so later, it was, like, just him. Because they had, like, a Vegas residency or something.
What? Really? Oh, maybe the video that I saw was... Never mind. Totally different. But, yeah.
Anyway, he, like, finally was like, I'm done with Panic. I'm moving on to the next stage of my life. Evan, really good friends with him, which is insane.
Really?
Like... Evan and Holt have, like, been to his house and, like, hung out.
Where's he from?
I have no idea, but he lives in L.A. now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what? I forgot what album this was. From A Fever You Can't Sweat Out? A Fever
You Can't Sweat Out, yeah.
Dude, this album was the fucking best,
so good, dude. So good.
It was so good.
This put him on, I don't know if this was their first album, but to me, it put them on the map, to me. 2005 is when this came out.
Yeah.
Gee, yeah, it was their first album. Fever You Can't Sweat Out. So good, dude. I mean.
Camisado, Time to Dance. Lying is the most fun a girl can have without taking her clothes off. Yeah. Oh, that was great.
So great.
But It's Better If You Do. Oh, I Write Sins Not Tragedies. It was so good, dude.
Also, it's just like peak.
Is this a twist?
I think it is. It is to me.
It feels weird.
It's like,
well, we're already covering an alternate playlist, right?
Yeah, so it's like wasn't big enough.
Is it an alternate twist?
I think it's an alternate twist.
It's an alternate twist.
It's an alt twist.
Can we just come up with a new one?
Alternate twist. Squint, 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 squint. Don't alternate cut yourself. Twist. To write love on her arms.
It gets better.
Just naming things that alt kids dude, like. Invisible children.
What was To Write Love in Our Arms? Was that in response to self-harm?
Yeah, it was just like an anti-self-harm thing.
Hey, don't cut.
Which is funny because I was rocking To Write Love on Our Own shirts and also just scarred up forearms. Just like, dude, I don't love myself, but this t-shirt makes me.
I've been seeing it on TikTok or on social where it's just like, you know, whatever. And then it's just a line.
What?
People are
dancing and you can see their scars. Is that what you're trying to say?
Like some people are.
Or are people just outwardly calling them out?
No, people have been kind of owning it in a great way. Oh, yeah. In a very.
Ooh. Most of mine are covered up by tattoos, but you can see like all throughout here. I got some little scar babies.
Yeah.
I got a big one right there. I was a little weird kid.
I never got into cutting. Somebody cut me one time and was like, here's the deal. And I was like, that hurts.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, but you being like, I don't want to do that because it hurts. Like, I don't like myself, but not enough.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I was a little sad boy. I had suicidal tendencies. You want to move on?
Good. No, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
No, that's hilarious. I don't care. It was right there. Dude, it was so late. I remember, like, I mean, thinking back, I'm like very appreciative of this friend for being supportive.
Yeah.
But the knife that I used to do it, he was like, listen, man, he's like, you're going to get better and we're going to take the knife and we're going to throw it in the lake behind my house. And we did.
You did? And it was like really cathartic.
It was, but I just got another knife.
At a gun show, you know?
No, at a gas station. Oh,
dude. Oh, did you guys hear about Spencer? He killed himself. Fuck. Yeah. How'd he do it? A sit-go knife, dude.
Dude, it was like blue and purple metallic, and it flipped out. It was pretty sick.
It was also a set of brass knuckles, too.
Had a naked lady inlay on the blade.
Dude.
Pretty fitting, because the reason he was so sad is because he couldn't get a woman.
Like, I remember one time we went to like Myrtle Beach for a holiday. I went with my mom and stepdad, and that's out of the family. And I had been working at this guy's I'd just been working in the neighborhood for this guy, and that's why I had some money saved up, and my parents were keeping it for me. They gave me the money. We went to like a Wings or something in Myrtle Beach.
You can have a time in one of those, dude.
And they gave me, they were like, here you go. Here's,
do you remember when they used to sell like airsoft guns?
Oh, and this was that time. So it was like, not only did they sell airsoft guns, but they sold swords too.
Yeah, dude, they had like katanas.
And he's like, and they gave me, they're like, here you go. He's like, $275. And I'm like, whoa. And then I look around, and I swear to God, in a glass case above everything else, there's this like sick ass sword, dude. And it was like only $125. It was just like this. It was just like, it was like back.
Yeah.
It was calling to me, dude. And I was like, whoa. So I had the cash in my hand. I'm looking at the sword, and I'm like, I could buy two swords.
And did you?
And my parents were just like, we'll hold on to it for you.
Oh, that's so funny.
Did not get it. I think maybe I got a pocket knife.
Dude.
You can't have a big sword, but you can't have a little knife.
Honestly, we really lost our direction as a country when we stopped selling swords at flea markets.
Yeah, dude. Swords and airsoft guns, man.
You used to be able to go to the flea market and just get a whole array of weaponry.
And I hope there's somebody listening right now that's like, not in my fucking flea market. You need to drive on out to Guilford County, dude.
Let us know, because I would gladly go buy some dumb swords. I remember
if we drove south. 20 minutes.
Dude, we went to a flea market in Tennessee, and there was nothing there.
That's true.
Yeah.
If there was going to be anywhere, it was going to be
there. It would have been there. Yeah, there were no swords. Yeah. It was pretty sick.
Yeah.
Pretty sick. Pretty toy store. Sick. That was cash only, which made me feel like they were all stolen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude. I remember one time my buddy James Barry and I and this other dude named Russell went to the flea market here and bought a bunch of katanas and then went to go fight with him in the backyard. And, like, first swing at him, just like, just shattered.
They shattered.
And one of the blades just like poof, just stuck into my friend's arm. And
oh,
we're
my
like,
God.
Oh!
That's way better than the alternative, which is just you guys like this, the blades like pinging off each other and getting lodged in some skin or something. You have to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Thankfully, it just like poked in him a little bit and fell out. Yeah, he was bleeding a lot.
Oh, shit.
It's pretty badass.
Anyway, coming in at number 4, No Way Back by Foo Fighters.
Fucking love the Foo Fighters. This is Madden menu music, okay? It's not their best work.
Buddy, I gotta tell you, it's even worse than that. I'm out on the limb with you, okay? This is a bop. I love the Foo Fighters. This is a great song.
I'm trying to find.
Fucking just love Dave Grohl's voice, too.
Look, but here's I'm giving this a bop because it's great. I love Dave Grohl's music, but this album was a double album that they came out with two sides back when you could do that before Joe Biden was president, and... I was hoping you would rock with me on that, but you just looked at me like really concerned. And one side was acoustic, and the other side was this. And that acoustic album, we said, I take you places and you go places. I'm about to take you somewhere.
Okay.
Summer 2006, I had this song on my mini disc player. That's right. I had an iPod by this point. But I think I was listening to the CD because I had both. And the acoustic side was so great because me as a sad boy was like, wait, Foo Fighters can also make me sad?
Oh, yeah. You never heard of Everlong, dude?
Dude, Everlong acoustic?
Man.
But I had a crush on this girl because I went to an international camp. I had a crush on this Colombian girl. Her name was Laura. And she liked me too.
Laura.
But we would like hug and stuff. And then she was like, she's like, I live in Colombia. She's like, we can't. She's like, it just wouldn't be smart. She's like, we'd fall.
You're like, I could fucking, my dad will drive to South Carolina all day.
I was like.
What's the problem, baby girl?
That's good. No, Colombia.
Colombia.
Yeah. And it was like, no, it's fine. We have MSN Messenger. That's all, all my Latin friends just use MSN Messenger. I don't know why. And I was typing J-A, J-A, J-A all the time.
Did I go through a phase of that too?
Yeah, dude. Ja. But I remember like we had the dance. We danced each other the next week. I was doing like the whitewater rafting elective. We were coming back late because you spend all day on the river. You come back, it's super late. We're driving into camp. I'm listening to this. And she had just told me, she was like, we cannot be together.
No, pero
yeah,
no be together.
God, dude, I remember having such a crush on her.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's like a fashion designer in Bogota, which is pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Doing really well for herself.
I almost got the chance.
Touch. We do.
On MSN Messenger?
No, no. She got Facebook. Facebook came to the South America.
Louder. Ja, 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 ja.
Yeah.
So this song and the album, In Your Honor, was written for John Kerry during Dave Grohl's participation in the 2004 John Kerry for President campaign.
LOL.
And the album was dedicated to John Kerry.
Ugh, that's,
is there any... I like. We have gone off on MAGA people and how much they fanboy.
Oh, liberals are just as whack.
Dude, remember the early 2000s with like... Fucking all the liberals who were against Bush and stuff, and then like get out and vote, and like John Kerry, and like
rock the vote.
Oh, dude, we fucking.
I wasn't
it's
like
cringe.
I was
level.
Pretty apolitical at that point in my life because I was a 16-year-old white boy, so like my privilege was like I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I wasn't really paying too much attention, but like even seeing stuff now, I'm just like this is fucking cringy, dude.
It's like like fucking Susan Sarandon being like standing up.
Bro. No, I fuck with Susan Sarandon because she has tanked her career to like rock with Bernie.
Oh, really?
Not like tanked it, but I mean, she's gotten a lot of backlash.
So who am I thinking of? Some other, maybe Sean Penn. He's like a classic.
For a second, I thought he was like, you know, Sean Paul.
Sean Paul.
Come on, everybody.
Give me the drum. Give me the drum.
Sean Paul's MAGA. Actually, he might be. I don't know. Fucking Pitbull's MAGA. So.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so this was written. It has a lot to do with feeling controlled by a government that you didn't elect.
Yeah, I mean.
It's cringe, dude, that it was written. But that being said, it's a cringy bop.
Yeah, it's a Madden music bop to me. It's not their best song, but I love it. Moving into number three, a song that really makes me feel something.
Wow, I am ready for this.
Hate Me by Blue October.
Hate me today. Hate me tomorrow.
This is like an actual serious song.
Dude.
This was like a song that I trigger warning, or I don't know how to properly say it. Like I used to cut myself to this song.
Really? You're like, hate me today. I do.
You're like, I hate myself. I do love that the album's called Foiled and the album cover is just ball of foil.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's a deeper meaning to them behind that, but
the single cover is kind of great. It's a brain with cockroaches in it.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Dude, I fucking love this song.
Yeah,
dude,
man. Uh-huh.
For two reasons. First of all, it's a white guy being sad, and I like that. Second of all, it's an incredible use of a voicemail outside of a rap song, okay?
Yep.
And I think that's pretty cool, dude, okay?
It's really meaningful. And it also just gives some context where it's like, oh, this isn't just like a fake sad song. Like, this guy actually deals with some shit.
He wrote the song about his girlfriend, and then he got the voicemail from his mom, and it was like, oh, I'll just shift it to be about my mom and his drug use and shit.
Yeah.
But like, dude, this song is fucking good, dude.
It's really good. It
it's
also,
a personal twist for me.
There, it's up there. My personal twist from them is was it Oceans Away or what's Into the Ocean?
Into the Ocean.
Yeah. This was actually
was a good one.
The guy that's brought up on Alex Jamil's podcast, Side of Fries, which is pretty fun. Go give it a listen if you want to. I'll be on it soon. He was like, is there a song that you can't listen to anymore? And that's Into the Ocean for me.
Really?
Dude, I had this. She was like a best friend. So
I couldn't
remember
it.
I actually listened to it on the way home from that podcast, and I was like, I'm good now.
Yeah.
This song. But I used to not be able to listen to the song. Yeah. I was like really into this girl in high school. Very like cliche, you know, like we were best friends. I was like, I love you. And she was like, I don't at all.
Yeah.
And then I went,
she's like, we're 11.
Yeah. Honestly, the real thing this is so fucked up. But she was like, I also have feelings for you, but your parents are divorced and my parents won't let us date.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was really fucked up. And it like messed with my head a lot. So like,
wow.
And but she would like still hang out with me and we'd like cuddle and shit. It was just high school bullshit.
Yeah.
And then I listened to, I get sad because I couldn't be with her. And then I listened to this song because I hated myself because I thought there's something wrong with me.
Oh, yeah. You internalized it.
I remember the phone that I had because it made a noise whenever I would get like texts from her. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I would always listen to this song. And like, I remember I was driving back really, really sad one night and like, I was like, I'm just going to crash my car into the lake. And like, I was going to and like listen to this song. And then she like texted me and I was like, but it was like a bad text. And I was like, I'm going to do it.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway.
So
great song. I love it. I haven't listened to this band in forever, but God, did it bring me back.
Oh, yeah.
God, did it bring me back. I'm not stoked about the next songs, if I'm being totally honest.
I Coming in at number two, we've got Worldwide Suicide by Pearl Jam.
Look, before a bunch of dads come after me, I just don't get Pearl Jam.
I don't get it. I like Yellow Lead better.
What's that?
One song by them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a couple. What's the one that's like, "Her almost hit Earl"?
That's Yellow Lead Better.
Is it? I like that song. Yeah. I can't knock him for not understanding his lyrics. I listen to metal and screamo, but like, it's just not, I don't know, man. It feels like it. Pearl Jam always struck me as like music for people trying to wean themselves off of jam bands, or it weaned them into jam bands. You know, like it wasn't quite jam bandy. It was like if a jam band and POD fucked.
Pearl Jam came along at a weird time in history too, because like,
were they grunge?
I think they were grunge. Were they Seattle? Where were they out of?
I think it was Seattle.
Yeah, they were at Seattle and Studio X. So they were like out of Seattle in that grunge movement, and they became like the poster band for the grunge movement. But then they did it. They like evolved into a different weird sound. So like when this song came out, a lot of people were like, "Oh wow, you like it's a little edgy or whatever."
Yeah,
back to your original sound. And I never got into them. I just did. That one song, Yellow Lead Better, I fucking love.
Yeah,
and
they were massive.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but I always picture who's the Eddie Vedder. Anytime I ever see a picture of him, I'm like, that's Bret Hart, the wrestler. They just kind of look the same. And they don't probably.
Some people that do like Eddie Vedder have been like, you know what's redeeming about Eddie Vedder is that he did the whole soundtrack to Into the Wild.
And I was just about to bring that up. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's fine. It's great in the context of the movie. I've listened to the album on its own a couple times and been like, this too is bad.
There's also one track where he's just like, just like barking.
To me, Pearl Jam is the ultimate dad band.
Yeah, I would say personally it's U2 but
like somebody like 5 to 10 years older than us has 2 to 3 kids, and they're the quintessential.
Do you know who
I bet? Mark Brady, if he didn't do comedy, let himself go a little bit, but he's got that past.
Do you know, I was gonna say who I bet really likes Pearl Jam that we haven't asked yet. I bet Brent loves Pearl Jam.
I bet Brent loves Pearl Jam. Yeah. Brent Blakeney, yeah.
Yeah, I could see him really big in Pearl Jam.
I could also see Justin Scranton really like Pearl Jam.
Maybe.
And I could see him having strong opinions about it.
I could see it too. Let's go into number one.
Let's go into number one. Okay, coming in at number one.
Whoa. Wait, was it me or you?
No, it's you.
Yeah.
Was that a flop from both of us?
That was, it was probably flop of the playlist for me. It's so bad that I want to suicide myself because it's called Worldwide Suicide. Anyway, real excited for this next song coming in at number one from the Billboard Alternative Airplay charts from April 29th, 2006. We have Danny California by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Everything that we just said about Pearl Jam, I could say and more about the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I just don't get it. Big yawn.
That's how I feel about them.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a couple songs.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe these bands that occupy space in my life where I know them, but I do not care about them.
At all. There's a time.
They're reality television to me. I don't partake of the media. They may maybe every now and then they'll have a song or a clip that pops up that I watch that I enjoy.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's white noise.
And I'm not like outwardly, like, I remember we were in, I was in Barcelona with Ben, your fellow landlord, and Sean, and a unnamed ex-girlfriend, and we were walking around. We didn't really know what to do. We had a few days, and Red Hot Chili Peppers were playing in Barcelona, and like there were tickets available, and I was like, no.
How much were the tickets?
Probably like $75. Like, they weren't that expensive.
If they were $50, I would have gone. But
I wouldn't have gone if they were $10.
But honestly, it's like, we're in Barcelona. I would rather just go to a bar and then fucking... I would rather go to a bar right by the arena just to hear be like, people having a good time. I'm having a good time. And I'm not in there.
Yeah. The Red Hot Chili Peppers to me feels like it's Metallica for dudes who longboard instead of drive SUVs.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's like for guys who like wear drug rugs unironically. You know? Like, it's just not. Like dudes who are still smoking salvia.
Somebody married with kids, but still trying to convince his wife to let him put up the Bob Marley tapestry.
Do you know who I bet likes Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Brent Blakeney. No.
Yes, but I wasn't going to say that. James Nichols.
We should ask him.
I'm going to ask. Yeah, hold on. I'm gonna text him live.
James is calling back.
Okay.
James. Do you like Red Hot Chili Peppers, the band?
Sure, yes.
I knew it!
You don't really, really love them, but what?
I used to really, really love them, but I don't really, really love them anymore. But yeah, I still like them.
I knew it.
You really, really love them. So you felt strongly in favor of them.
I used to.
Yeah.
They are not near my top anymore, but I still enjoy very many of their songs.
Ask him what he thinks about Danny California.
What do you think about Danny California?
It's fine.
Okay.
It's not, yeah.
Bop or flop?
I haven't listened to it in a long time.
We're going to get James fired.
No, I'm in the hallway. It's fine.
He stepped out of your office to answer the call. It's funny that you're struggling so much. I think you almost can't answer now.
Yeah.
Now, I bet I would say flop.
Okay.
Hey, it's that
kind of flop, but it's that kind of flop where you will bob your head to it.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
All their music's like that. It's like funky enough to where you're like, all right.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't remember the song, it's that one where Anthony Kiedis kind of raps and sings at the same time.
You mean all of them?
Okay, well, you're going to be on the podcast, so thank you.
Yep. Thanks, James. Bye.
Okay, so.
Honestly, I think that answers it. I don't like them.
I'm going to give it I know what I'm going to give it. I'm flopping it.
Yeah. What's that one song where he's like, hum-ba-da-dum, bum-ba-da-dum. It's just like all their songs sound the same, dude. I just can't deal with it.
Okay, double flop from us. You want me to read us back through?
Take us through, baby.
These will probably be a little rusty. Okay,
so that's fine.
Number 10, Crooked Teeth by Death Cab for Cutie. I gave it a crooked bop, and you gave it a Zooey Deschanel bop. Number 9, I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor by the Arctic Monkeys. I gave it a I Bop You Look Good on the Dance Floor, and then you gave it a fine bop. Number 8, Tear You Apart, She Wants Revenge. I gave it a blop, and you gave it a Vampire Nightclub flop. Number 7, Saying Sorry, Hawthorne Heights. I gave it a Say Sorry. Tell me you're sorry for making me listen to this song. Flop. You gave it a total bop. Number 6, Steady As She Goes, The Raking Tours. I gave it a Steady As She Bops, and you gave it a bop, but I kind of want to twist it. Number 5, The Only Difference Between Martyrdom and Suicide is Press Coverage by Panic! At the Disco. I gave it an alternate twist. We both gave it an alternate twist. Number 4, No Way Back by the Foo Fighters. I gave it a cringy bop, and you gave it a Madden Music bop. Number 3, Hate Me by Blue October. I gave it a boptober, and you gave it a bop it into the lake. Number 2, Worldwide Suicide by Pearl Jam. I gave it a flop. You gave it a flop aside. And number 1, Danny California by Red Hot Chili Peppers. I gave it a flop by proxy, and you gave it a hubba dub up flop. And that is it. Those are the top 10 from April 29th, 2006.
Feels good to be back. Knocking the rust off. We're giving it 25 more episodes, then we're all going to have a worldwide suicide.
Yes. One final show to go out on. Oh, maybe.
That could be kind of fun.
Also, we'll see what happens at 25.
I will say there have been people legit who one guy, Caleb. Shout out, Caleb Huff, he's a listener. And then another random person who I saw at a store in Cameron Village, I didn't even tell you about this, who've asked me about, one, when is Bob or Flop coming back? And two, are we ever going to do a live show again? And we are.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
we're going to try plan something at Neptune's, actually, because we can fit more people in there.
Nice.
And yes. Also, it's just when we started the pod, we were like, God, can you imagine doing a live episode of Neptune's?
Oh, for fucking sure.
Yeah. So we're going to get that together. But thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for rocking with us. We miss you. We're glad to be back. I don't have anything else to say to you, Jordan.
No. Love you guys.
Love you too. Goodbye.
Bye.